Okay, about being president. That means you've elected, you've chosen to leave elected office.
Right.
All right. Did you ever think you wanted to run statewide for the positions that could be statewide?
There was some discussion, John, in 93. Governor Walters was towards the end of his first term. And there was some discussion about looking at the governor's race in 94. As it turned out, those that ultimately got in to the race were Jack Meldrin and Bernice Shedrick. And I believe one of my colleagues, Representative Danny Williams from Seminole. I might have looked at it a bit. I had the members encouraging me to run for a third term as speaker. It seemed like things were going well. So I want to be candid and straight. I probably gave it some thought, not a lot, and opted to go for the third term. I actually had a year at OU right after the legislature. I taught at the law school, and it was coincided with President Boren leaving the U.S. Senate to go to OU. And then I'd just been there 6 months, and Southeastern, they had their presidency open, and I had several call and encouraged me to apply there, and that's kind of what got me on the on that track.
So you were president of Southeastern Oklahoma State University in Durant, 1997 to 2006.
Right, correct.
This is a whole new ball game, isn't it?
It is.
When you arrive in Durant, what's your first impression? What were some of the challenges you faced?
Well, I did have a connection. Melinda and I married in 1993 when I was speaker, my wife Melinda. And Melinda earned her undergraduate degree at Southeastern. She was alumnus. She played basketball for Southeastern and was still very connected to the community and had a lot of friends. So there was an additional motivation. Separate and apart, I had made the decision to move to higher ed when I went to OU, and I think probably I had a contact and there was some interest in me looking at it. I mean, the skill set for being a president of university at that time was evolving. Obviously, there was a traditional view that was going through academic ranks, but really nationwide, more and more emphasis on fundraising, communications, outreach with alumni, all of which were things that I felt like I had some ability there. But I also knew I was not going to be a traditional candidate, so I embraced that. During my interview, I said, I'm looking at what I see there, and I see a great regional university. I see a university that was founded in 1909, and this is 1997. Your buildings were built at that time, and they're 90 years old now. There's going to need to be a major overhaul from the physical structure of campus, but more importantly than that, we've got to be up to speed in terms of accreditation. One of the first things I did, aided by John Massey's endowed chairs in the School of Business, but we sought the second level of accreditation for the College of Business. The level that everyone has is ACBSB. The second level is AACBSP, which is at that point was only attained by University of Oklahoma, Oklahoma State University, and University of Tulsa. So immediately I branched out to do something that at that point no other regional had done, but looking at raising the standards of the School of Business, bringing with the endowed chairs that Regent Massey gave us, bringing in faculty from other institutions, sometimes larger institutions. It all kind of just fell in place. U.S. News and World Report named us there in around 2000, the top regional university in the state. I started a pretty ambitious fundraising effort. We raised money to renovate our biological sciences building, to build new classroom buildings, new residence halls, an arena and convocation center, renovating the football stadium, new public safety complex, all in that 7 or 8 year period. And it was a very focused effort in terms of more private fundraising, and we greatly enhanced that. But also things, John, like establishing a president's leadership class. There was not one. teaching a class every other semester. I loved being president of Southeastern. It was a great opportunity. I think we accomplished a lot in that time period, and they were gracious enough to name me president emeritus when I became chancellor. So I still stay very engaged. When they built the student union there, which I was involved in raising the money for, they in 2010 named the student union for me.
Mm-hmm. So. The money that was raised, that $85 million campaign.
Right.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
Beyond the Alumni Association and all that. And so where did largely your money come from?
Well, a variety of sources. Certainly the alumni stepped up as they never had. Some of that involved grantsmanship, both at the state and federal level, leveraging opportunities with foundations. I mean, it really covered the waterfront. At the time we built the new residence halls, we renovated the old halls, which in the late 60s were named Choctaw and Chickasaw Tower. And for the renovation, I talked to Chief Pyle, was the chief of the Choctaws at that time, and Governor Anitubby, who's still the governor of the Chickasaw Nation, said, this is kind of a reverse deal. Usually we ask for the money and then name the towers after you. Already named it after you, but we're asking for the money now to renovate them. And they thought that was kind of a nice concept. I think to answer your question, it was a variety of sources, and they oftentimes we had to leverage them, you know, and match here and there, but private foundations, federal, state, alumni, and grants, it all came together to allow us to do that.
So here you come in as a former state legislator, and you have to interact with the faculty. And sometimes faculty probably thinks you need to come out of academia and not an elected official. Did that any of that issue?
Well, there was probably initially, John, there was probably some, maybe a bit of a rub there. I'll tell you what I did. I immediately upon arriving on campus, I started going to the faculty lounge and having coffee with them. I would ask for time at their faculty senate meetings to come in. I think we had one thing that in retrospect was helpful. We had a site visit from our accrediting agency. In those days, it was the North Central Association. Now it's called the Higher Learning Commission. And so we had to do a site visit on shared governance. And what that allowed me to do was get in there, sleeves rolled up, working very closely, because we needed to be prepared when they came for what was a four-day site visit. So I think that gave me a chance for exposure early on. I mean, I don't want to belabor it. We had a great relationship. When I left to become chancellor in January of 2007, the faculty gave me a grandfather clock as a going away present from their personal fund. So I always got that, still have that on display today.
All right. We're tracking it. What age are you about here now? When you became president?
When I became president of Southeastern, I was 43.
So you could have other faculty members who are about the same age probably.
And some older.
Any particular student stories or experiences out of being there that you remember?
Well, yeah, we lived on campus, which I thought was great. Melinda was teaching in the Durant system, so we were very engaged. We'd have events three nights a week, sometimes four nights a week at our house, had a big backyard, which was great. You know, the usual by proximity to campus, periodically the deal was to ring the president's doorbell at midnight. Melinda and I we always have stayed up late. So on this given night, it rang, and I was at the door in about 20 seconds, and they were standing there going, what do we do now? You know, I mean, didn't think, you know, usually we have time to make our exit here. I said, come on in, let's talk, you know, let's talk about why we're doing this. You know, so we had a great experience there. Another, you know, under the category of you can't make it up, we built the new student union. And I'm not completely objective, but it's a great structure and a great facility. So we were going to do the lighting, have a lighting ceremony to light it up. And I had been selected as chancellor, so I was here in Oklahoma City. They were going to do it like on a Tuesday at dusk. And as it turned out, we had something in my role as chancellor out of the Capitol. So I called him and I said, let's reschedule. So they did. Well, then the second time something came up again, I said, why don't we just do this? Why don't we have the student body president? I'm good with that. Just let them like the student union. And so I'm actually at the Capitol, and I get a call from the physical plant director at Southeastern, who I hired when I was there. And he goes, I want you to hear this before you hear it from somebody else. He said, they, about 5 minutes ago, hit the button to light the student union. And he said, two of the lighting packages malfunctioned, and all that lit up, instead of Glenn D. Johnson Student Union, all that lit up was Glenn D. Johnson Stud. Well, you can imagine the student reaction to that. And he goes, I just wanted to call you. He goes, I hope you're not upset. I go, why would I be upset? I think this is hilarious, you know. I said, in fact, I can't wait to tell Melinda, you know. And he said, well, he laughed. He said, if I'd been trying to do it, I never could have done it. And I go, I get that. So then I start getting texts and phone calls. You know, you're not going to believe what just happened on campus. And so somebody took a picture of it. And then our friend John Massey, who was on the state regents at that time, gets hold of it. I have no idea this is going on at our next full regents meeting. The media's there. You know, everything's at our conference room downstairs. We start the meeting, and John, first order of business, had secured a picture of that Glenn D. Johnson Stud, framed them, and gave all nine regents a copy of it. So
that's great.
We had some fun with it.
Absolutely.